Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tim Wilson from the Wilson Drinks Report. How are you, Tim?
Fine, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. This is much better this time. We've just done a start, and I forgot to turn my mic on, so how crazy is that? What we're going to do today is talk a wee bit about Wilson Drinks Report. I've just attended a seminar you did on the sort of online wine trade, so I'd like to talk about that as well. But do you want to just tell us a bit about how you started this business, this customer information reporting business?
Yes, difficult to describe sometimes exactly what we are, but it's a mixture of market analysis, bespoke consumer research, really trying to provide an independent, holistic view of the drinks market.
Yep.
So we're independent of any retailer, trade association, supplier. We're the guys who we can stand on the touchline, look at the whole field of play for beer, wines, and spirits, because we think it's very important to consider not just wine, but what's happening in beer, what's happening in spirits as well. Because the most consumers buy everything in different shapes or forms. So my background was 15 years at Deloitte, one of the big consulting firms.
Mm-hmm.
And I did quite a lot of work in the beer sector, including setting up Miller Brands, which sells Peroni.
Yep.
And probably the most successful beer company in the land now.
It's AB Miller, isn't
it? AB Miller, yep.
Yeah.
And in fact, they just bought Meantime last week.
I know, I saw that.
And Meantime is very similar to Miller Brands, both really focused on quality, high price, good margins. It's not just about shifting cases. So that purchase was spot on, mainly because two of the Miller Brand executives I worked with closely in setting it up in 2005 and now at Meantime.
Ah, okay.
So it's a bit of an inside story, but doing a bit of quite a lot of work with beer companies at Deloitte, I started a drinks research business or drinks research program at Deloitte, and it seemed to go down pretty well with our clients and targets and things. But when I left Deloitte, I started getting a lot of calls from people saying, "Where's your research? We really enjoyed it. It was different. It was independent. Blah blah blah." So, I thought, okay, let's make a go of it. So, we produce a report every quarter,
mm-hmm.
and it's a mixture of consumer research on sort of regular quantitative research to see what's happening in terms of average spend, what they drink, where they drink, that sort of thing, and then we collect as many data sources as we can for all the channels: so off trade, on trade, online, total economy, total market, tax and duty. We even collect weather information, so that's part of it.
Okay.
Because weather, as you probably know, is absolutely key driver for some categories of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine lager and simple white wines and that, and rosé.
Yeah, rosé, classic. If you have a warm spring, like April, a warm April, rosé sales go through the roof.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. People, if you have predictable weather,
mm-hmm.
so predictable, hot and sunny means I can arrange a barbecue at the weekend with friends. I need to get a barbecue. I need to get sausages. I need to get burgers. I need to get beers. I need to get wine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's all predictable. And that's when you get mega growth.
Okay.
So we have, you know, some weather stats to try and show what's happening for those types of patterns. But it's all about providing context for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do occasional deep dives into certain important topics. So our big topic when we first started was minimum pricing.
Yep.
So we know a lot about minimum pricing.
Oh, okay.
And we're
in terms of minimum pricing, in terms of the government proposed government legislation,
yes, exactly.
They were talking about.
Yeah. So it's very important for us to understand all the legal issues and consequences about minimum pricing, but also reach out to our consumer research base to find out if minimum pricing was introduced, would volumes come down? Because this is what the health lobby
was saying,
temperamental. As I call them, lobby.
Temperance.
Temperance, yeah.
Temperance. Temperamental temperance.
Yeah. And they all said, oh, you know, this is the biggest driver of bringing volumes down. Rubbish.
Yeah.
So our consumers, and this is through nationally representative samples, said, even if prices went up 15%, we'd still buy the same volume.
Yeah.
People enjoy their drink.
Yeah, yeah.
And we drink when we're happy, when we're sad, at births, at deaths, at marriages. It's a part of culture. All the main TV shows, the popular soaps, are based around alcohol.
Are they?
EastEnders, Coronation Street, you think about it, there's usually a pub in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right, actually. So, and I always think, though, that the minimum pricing is really governed by the cost or the how much effort it is to get the booze for free, because home brewing is you know, very cheap, or going to Calais or whatever. And if you jack the tax up too high, you're just shifting it. You're substituting it from a purchase through taxation system to
We've seen it in cigarettes. You'll get a lot of illegal smuggling and illegal, very dangerous sort of speakeasy type, you know, product, which is God knows where it comes from. So it's not going to work. And the other thing about minimum pricing is, and no one's ever come up with a reason, an answer to this, is how on earth do you police it?
Yeah.
If you have 100,000 outlets out there, who knows that my village shop is selling vodka below minimum price Tuesday afternoon? You have no idea. You never find out. So it may sound great in principle, but as a practical solution, I don't think it's the right one.
Okay.
Personal view, sir.
No, that's interesting.
Backed up by our research, which says it'd be massively difficult to implement, and it would have no impact anyway. And by the way, if you look at the average consumption of alcohol for the last 3 years per head, it's coming down significantly with no action at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So apart from that, it's a great policy.
So did you do a lot of work for the supermarkets and the, like the Wine Spirit Trade Association for them for when they're discussing things with the government about that? Or
Yes, in part, because we have quite a few subscribers from the retailers and WSTA and people like that. And so they were getting full access to all our research anyway, and then I would do occasional sort of top-ups on specific things.
Yep.
Yes, we were very keen to throw our hat in the ring and say, we have an independent view on all this. Here's what our analysis says. Here's what our data says. I remember Dan Jago about 3 years ago. Saying,
yeah, he was Tesco's, isn't he?
Still is Tesco.
Yeah.
Come back in a slightly different role now. But when he was heading up Beer, Wines and Spirits at Tesco, he was saying, if you want to know anything about minimum pricing, go and talk to Tim. So it's quite a nice...
Lovely.
Sort of a comment, yeah.
And what other things have you looked at? We're going to talk about online pricing in a few minutes, but what other things have you found were topical that you've...
In the last edition, which came out just after Christmas, we were looking at the discounters.
Oh, yeah, well, Aldi and Lidl.
Aldi and Lidl,
very topical.
So we did a lot of new consumer research about who buys their drinks at discounters. We're looking at their price ranging and things like that. So potentially a big threat to the major supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting when Lidl launched their wine cellar.
Backed
by MWs and this type of thing.
Yeah, Richard Bamford and all those guys.
Yeah, so, and I think for the, again, people forget in our industry that outside where we are now, which is the London Wine Fair, everyone here knows what they're talking about pretty much. Out on the street, the level of knowledge is still very, very low.
Mm.
And you'll know as an educator that people are still haven't gone very far up that knowledge and confidence curve.
Confidence is probably it, yeah.
So I think the reason that things like Argentinian Malbec is doing so well right now is that it's become that combination of country and
brand.
Region and grape.
Yeah, yeah.
Where New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc has been there for a while, but Malbec, Argentinian Malbec's now there. You can go into a retailer or a restaurant, see it on the wine list, and buy it with confidence in front of your friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It sounds silly, but so many people stand in front of that wall of wine and think, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And it's, apologies for the French, but...
No, that's right. I don't mind the old colloquialism. That's why I have a Find a Vino app. But. Yeah. Got to get that plug in.
I said that one. I can't believe I did that.
You fell for it. Real doing I did, Tim. So what was some of the upshots of the Aldi Lidl sort of thing? You know, you're saying that the big supermarkets have got something to really worry about.
Well, I think one of the interesting findings was that this whole... If we'd asked a question 3 years ago about who was buying wine at the discounters, we would not have found an equal proportion of ABC1s as C2DEs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. When you say ABC1, they're like the professionals,
CDEs, middle classes,
more working.
So the better off people would not be happy to admit they were shopping at Aldi Lidl.
Mm.
That's changed dramatically.
That is now
the case where you go in there and you will see
Mercedes in the driveway.
Big smart cars outside, and they're looking for a bargain.
Yeah.
And they know that actually, in some cases, the wine range isn't too bad.
Yeah.
It's not extensive, but they have some expensive stuff.
Yep.
Or relatively. And it has become almost a badge of honor to say, I'm proud to shop at Aldi Lidl because I'm looking after my pennies.
You know?
So there's still a role, absolutely, for the big supermarkets and the independents because they have quality wines which you won't get in a discounter.
Yeah, well, the range as well, particularly when they get onto the online store, some of their range is huge.
Yeah.
And those discounters have no online footprint, really, in the wine market.
There's no point in them even thinking about it because the cost of operating online is quite significant.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is true, actually, isn't it? It's just a lot of hassle from what I can work out.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's interesting. That's interesting. So you're finding things like, do you think that Aldi and Lidl are cost competitive compared to the bigger supermarkets for wines?
I think it's very interesting that they made a big play on going after some relatively well-known French names.
Oh, yeah, and Canadian iced wine and all sorts. Was it Aldi or Lidl? Aldi went for some really quite well-known region brandy type things.
So maybe poor quality wine from certain regions in France, but it was from that region. As far as the consumer was concerned, there was a wine at $14.99 from Bordeaux or something, or Pauillac, I think, or wherever it might have been. I'm thinking, oh, that could be a bargain, and get some.
Yep. Was it a bargain?
I don't know. I didn't try any, but I did try and get some of their, I think they had a Tokai.
Yes, that was
incredibly cheap. And I went in three times to my local Lidl. Never had it.
No.
And I suspect they never had it.
Yeah.
Or they would have had one bottle in the store or something.
Yeah, I remember Marks and Sparks doing a really awesome champagne offer and they had like 20 bottles.
I think this is a bit of a trickery, isn't it, with that type of promotion where you get the Daily Mail all over it saying, you know, fantastic bargains for middle classes and they all flock to the shops and then it's not there.
Yeah.
It never was there in reality.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's only so much of a loss leader you want to lose, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Tim. But next week, I think we'll talk about online shopping. Is that all right?
Okay.